When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Welcome to Wednesday afternoon's Late Lunch on LMFM Radio. Great to have you with us on the show this afternoon. Lots of chat and more besides coming up. We have a giveaway as well from the Arc Cinema. Don't forget that very special screening of the movie Godzilla Kong, The New Empire. You can go along on Wednesday, April the 10th. I'll tell you more about that in a wee while. You just must be over 12 years of age. With that competition this afternoon, I have a number of pairs of tickets to give away to that one. Also on the show today, Burke's Banter. Yes, Sinead is back with us. Aoife McPartlin is in the house. Wildlife Matters in April. We're talking about young creatures. You might find a young bird, a young animal that has strayed or got lost or whatever. What do you do with them? Aoife McPartlin from the Wildlife Trust is here with us on the show in a wee while. And I'm delighted to say Basket Bakery, Sarah Steen and John Mallon are in the house. They're coming over from Bohermean. They have a wonderful, wonderful bakery over there and they're joining me to have a chat today on the show. Don't forget the usual numbers, 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text if you'd like to get in touch with us on the show. Louise, are you a woman who loves to get the ironing board out and do a bit of ironing? Yes or no? You laugh. What? Listen, a bit of a struggle in there. I thought you were ironing for a minute and you left the ironing aside. No.
No, I burnt the ironing board.
What?
Yeah, you know the cover. You just put it down and you just... I get distracted easily, you know that. I walk away, I come back and the ironing cover is burnt.
It's not just the ironing board. I saw a creation from your oven recently that was born too. I don't know what it is about you. But anyway, look,
I like setting fires.
That can happen. That can happen. You know what I mean? You can leave it down.
But then
you just get a new cover. You don't iron.
No, I hate ironing. If I have to iron, I will. But it'll take me weeks to kind of get a few things. And I don't mean a whole heap of them. I mean a few things. But generally, if I can sit in them for a few hours and let my body heat, work on the creases, I'll do that.
Oh, that's a new way of ironing. There you go.
It works.
Your derriere does the ironing for you.
Or
is that it?
Stick a top on. If you have a t-shirt needs ironing, put it on.
Okay.
Put about two jumpers, walk around the place for a half an hour and...
It's perfect.
It's perfect.
But doing things, like in a general sense, ironing socks, ironing your underwear. No, no. What are you laughing at?
Who does that? Who does that?
I'd say there are people absolutely iron everything, but I see no need to iron socks, underwear,
tea towels.
What else?
I know people that does tea towels.
You don't need
duvets.
You don't need to iron tea towels or towels either. What about bed sheets?
Yeah.
Yeah, iron them.
Why?
You wouldn't iron them.
No.
God, now you're cutting down the list. You see, now you're getting down to a very manageable...
I'd only iron, say, trousers or jeans. You know, trousers, if there were really bad creases and you were going out.
Okay.
Or shirts.
Yeah.
If you were going out. Or maybe kids, if it was summertime and they were going to school and their T-shirt was really badly ironed.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd do that because they couldn't put a jumper on it.
So you're not a one for fussing over ironing at all.
No.
There you go.
Even the thoughts of getting out the ironing board. But an ironing board on wheels, maybe.
Well, listen, you're going to hear about an ironing board in a minute. But I have to say again, well, they know in Late Lunch Land, they know this anyway. I've never ironed a sock in my life. I've never ironed a thing in my life. Miriam does all the ironing, so she does in the house.
Where'd you iron a sock anyway?
But I'm saying I never have. I never have ironed anything in my whole life. I'd rather go out and buy a new T-shirt than iron one.
Or I'd actually pay extra for, you know, the Nike T-shirts or that. Because they never crease.
Okay. Folks, what do you do? What's the Ireland? Anyone out there love Ireland? Would you say there's anybody really loves? Would you?
I'd say there's a lot of people that find it very relaxing and therapeutic.
Would you? A lot of people find it painful and a chore and something that they just avoid as much as possible. But folks, do you, anyone out there love Ireland or loathe it? If you loathe it, let us know. 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text. We love to hear from you. 086 1800 658. WhatsApp or text us now about the ironing situation. Well, Louise mentioned there that she burned. I'll tell you one thing. If you set,
I'll take a picture. I'll prove it to you.
Okay, that's all right. Do that. But if you set this ironing board on fire that we're going to talk about now, I'll tell you one thing. There'd be trouble at mill for sure.
Trouble if I bought it in the first place.
Absolutely. Chrissy Russell is standing by and we're going to talk about, I would call it probably a designer ironing board. Chrissy, thank you for joining us on the show again.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
Anyway, you're a lucky woman because you rarely do ironing. You have a good man who looks after the ironing in your house. Is that true?
Well, now, if you read the picture, you'll know that he does the ironing, but he does it with a sort of a Louise method where there's many a thing comes back not quite how it went into the wash.
I love that. There it is. It's gone in the English dictionary. The Louise method of ironing is in the English dictionary. Officially today, the Oxford English Dictionary. Chrissy Russell has said so.
Is that burning the iron board cover or just using my derriere to iron things?
I like the sound of the second one. He has very much a maximum power approach to ironing, and I've accepted that. Look, if I'm not going to do it myself, that I have to just be willing to, you know, let fate take its course. And if that means a few pairs of pants don't make it, then, you know, so be it.
Absolutely, and we love what you had to write in the Independent in the last 24 hours. But listeners are probably wondering why we're talking about this. Tell them about this ironing board that you've come across that's on sale in Harrods in London. How much will it cost to acquire this ironing board, please?
So it will cost you a little bit over $5,000. But it is not, I have to say, not just an ironing board. It is an ironing system. You get three types of steam. Who even knew there were three types of steam? And you get that Swarovski crystal keychain, just in case, you know, you lose the keys to your iron. And it's one of a kind. No, it's not one of a kind. It's a limited edition. So, yeah, if you burnt a hole in this cover, you'd be pretty gutted.
Oh, you'd be in big trouble. Our Louise ain't in the market for that Harrods ironing board, that's for sure. I don't think there's many people listening to us today. 5,329. Is that punts or euro? Is that euro or sterling? Euro,
that's
is it?
Euro price. That's a euro price.
That's a euro price.
I don't know, Jerry. Like, who's buying that? Who on earth could possibly be sitting with $5,000 thinking, do you know what? I'm going to get that ironing board. That's my mission.
She'd have to take it down to the pub with you on Friday night as an accessory, wouldn't you? And show it off to people.
I'd be driving round in it. That's what it would have to do for me at that price.
I'll tell you, for €5,329, it must do the ironing for the year. Do it. You have nothing to do. You don't need the derriere or anything else.
So I was like, yes, I'd expect it to do it. And I was saying that to a friend. She was like, I expect it to do the ironing and make me a cup of tea and give me an orgasm. So I was like, the expectations are high.
I love it. Oh my God, I'm going to lose my breath here thinking about that. Is there an iron comes along with it, or is it just the board that costs that?
You do. So no, this is it. Yes, you get the iron and the ironing board. It's sounding more like a bargain now.
Yes.
So I was looking down the spec list of it because I was like, what on earth can this do? And it's Bluetooth ready. So it will link up with your phone and give you little video instructions on how best to iron your delicates.
Yes.
I was like, right, okay. And as I say, yes, you get this dazzling Swarovski crystal keychain. But like, who has keys to their iron? What's that to do with? And apparently it can be ready in under 3 minutes. But again, like, surely any ironing board can be ready in well under three minutes. The specs were just baffling to me. And then, yes, it can, one of the steam functions promises to get rid of all viruses and dust mites. But again, you're talking about clothes that have just been through a wash. Like, what are they going to have done before, you know, getting out of the washer and heading to the ironing? Or just going to have got them immersed in these viruses? So, yeah, I was a bit like, wow, okay. Not sure who your market is.
No, who is in the market for this? But you will find it will be picked up by somebody, because there's people who frequent Harrods have more money than sense, and I'm sure somebody will certainly buy it. Because, you see, I know from... what you've written about it, it is a partnership between ironing aficionados Lauristar and Swiss designer Germanier. So they've come together to create this signature ironing system. But you look at the end of the day, be it the Louise method or the Ironingborn method or wherever, it all turns out the same whether you pay €50 for your ironing board or €5,329. True, Chrissy?
Exactly. Well, this is the thing. Like, it says that it can sense exactly what temperature you need per fabric. Now, I would be quite keen to buy it just to see if that's actually true, because I swear to God, I'm sure my husband could still find a way to meld a layer of football jerseys onto the bottom of it, as he has with every iron we've ever owned. So, I mean, that would be the only thing that would entice me to like want it, just to see, can it actually beat that?
Oh, you started writing this piece brilliantly. You put on some underwear recently and you weren't really impressed. You felt there was something annoying you.
Indeed, yes. I could feel a distinct breeze, and where there should be no breeze. And yes, then realised that there was a sort of a lace pattern of holes in the back. And at first I thought, God, it's been moths. And I was like, oh no, I know what's happened here. He is given a little press with an overly high iron and it has just melted. And I don't know why. Like, nobody's ever told him to iron pants. I don't know. Oh, to God. Like, he doesn't need to be doing it. But yes, there's a... My husband's iron only has one setting and it's a horror.
Well, there you are. I've admitted here many times, mine has no setting on it because I've never been let loose with an iron in my life. Now, I do lots of other besides, but certainly not with an iron. Chrissy, have a listen to this. The messages are pouring into us. Keep them coming. 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text. Louise, look at these. I absolutely love ironing. Socks, underwear, the lot, Jerry, says a listener. Anne's been on to say, I'm not into it, but my sister just adores ironing. So what you were saying, Louise, it can be therapeutic for some people. Here's another. Jerry, I love ironing, but hate having to put them hanging in their places afterwards. That's a good point, isn't it?
Putting them away.
Jerry, the way I do my ironing, says another listener today, is I throw everything into the tumble dryer, fold them straight from the dryer. There's no ironing needed. So there's a listener without an ironing board. Listen to this.
A bit more costly, though.
Yeah, perhaps. But if you have your free day on electricity, so you could work around that, I'm sure. My mam loves ironing, Jerry. She's 90. I hate ironing. I do as little as possible. And that comes in from our daughter, Myra. Myra, aren't you lucky to have a mammy like that that does all that ironing and loves it? And one more there. There's loads of them. I love ironing and do my own every week once the washing is dried. I also do the family ironing if they've built up a big load. There's somebody who does for everybody as well. Chrissy, the air crowd love this ironing. Most of them there love it. There's a few that don't, I would say. But on the whole, there are people out there who love it. €5,329, would you love it that much? Nah, hardly, Chrissy. Hardly, as I said. No way. Anyway, it'll be interesting to see, Chrissy, if Harrods shifts one or a number of these, won't it?
Well, it sounds like there's a few customers there that maybe, you know, feel that could be a treat to themselves at Christmas if they love ironing that much. please God, if my husband's listening, do not buy it for me. Look, there'll be folk out there. And you know, I think it's this kind of the whole TikTok, Instagram, you know, showing people into your houses now. This kind of whole lifestyle porn now just has such a market. So, like, yes, people will buy it for sure.
Oh, there's, listen, as I said, there's plenty of money. And if you've been lucky enough, which I have a few times, to wander around Harrods and look at things and the prices of them and see all the customers in there, you can be sure there are people who will expend that amount of money on that ironing board. Chrissy, you're great. I don't know what you've started here, but it's gone wild with the ironing population in the Northeast. They're onto us left, right and centre. Thank you so much for joining us. Keep writing those wonderful articles.
My pleasure. Thank you. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Chrissy Russell. You'll read her in independent newspapers. Look, Louise, look at them pouring in there. Let's read a couple more before we head to the break. Jerry, I always iron on a Wednesday, so I'm ironing right now listening to you. Everything I wash, always did my mum's advice, rest her soul. Love your show. That comes in from Teresa today. How are you, Jerry? I was a Hoffman presser in a factory and I love ironing, listening to Roy Orbison. Now, isn't that funny, Louise? Don't
just,
tell.
No.
That is a real irony that you mentioned Roy Orbison.
Uh-huh.
Isn't it? Irony, yeah. Pressing garments is the most important thing to finish the job. Let's face it, people now think that even making dinner is a chore instead of a necessity.
It is.
Enjoy that you're able to do your daily tasks, says Betty Daly. Thank you, Betty. She makes a good point. She makes a good... Everything is convenient. You know what I mean? Convenient,
yeah.
Convenient. I see the point you're making there. Anne's been on to say, Jerry, I absolutely adore ironing. I iron everything, even the towels, says Anne. There you go. Some people won't. As I said, I don't see the point in socks and undies and things like that and actually iron them. And you're talking about somebody that doesn't know the top from the bottom of an iron. I have to admit that anyway. Hi, Jerry. Just like Louise, I put the ironing off. But when I take a Figari and take the board into the sitting room in the evening opposite the television and pour a nice glass of vino, I love it then and end up going looking for stuff to iron. And Pat and Navin says, you know, I could surf on my board if I was a bit more adventurous a few years ago. Thanks indeed for that one, Pat. Thank God, says Mary, he allowed the invention of the Aga cooker. Lit 9 months of the year, everything, cotton, blouses, tops, jeans, creases and trousers are pressed, aired on the back of the Aga cooker, says Mary. There you go. Another use for an Aga cooker. They're a wonderful, certainly, addition to any kitchen for sure. Here's another one from Ray. Jerry, I am lucky to have a solid fuel cooker. This is another one, similar to the Aga, with a rack. Get the clothes out of the machine as soon as you can. Onto the clothesline, weather permitting. When nearly dry, fold them and hang them up on the rack. They come out perfect. Sometimes they go straight from the machine up on the rack, but it takes a little longer to dry. Radiators get used as well. I only iron shorts and blouses, says Mairead. Only shorts and blouses. God, you're great people. I never thought so many you'd be into your ironing. Jerry, here's another one. I love ironing. Get the ironing board out on a Saturday night in front of the television and everything in sight is done. Louise, we have a huge cadre of people listening to us today who love their ironing. There you go.
I must keep their numbers.
Would you have thought that?
No. I actually have a steam iron I bought 17 years ago on our first house. It's still working. It's in pristine, well, apart from the underneath when I burned something. But it was a steam iron, but I've never actually put water into it. That just takes time.
I'd say there's been a bit of steam has come out of your ears from time to time. Would that be true? Never mind the iron. I was going to say the iron is probably still in the plastic, in the box, never taken out.
And no, you're quite still looking as bad.
No.
But I'm just thinking that old joke about, you know, I'm somebody ringing you in the middle of it and you answering, putting the iron to your ear instead of the phone.
Burn the ear off yourself. Don't do it. Anyway, keep your ironing thoughts coming to us. My next guests have been on our radar on Late Lunch for a while. I'm delighted to say they're with us today in studio. I'm delighted to welcome Sarah Steen and John Mallon, who are the people behind Basket Bakery in Bohermean. You're both very welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining me today. Now, let's get this clear from the start. I said Basca. John said Basca. Sarah, what do you say?
I say Bashka.
Bashka?
Yeah.
Why?
So, the girl who started the bakery is a girl called Barbara Brown, and Barbara's nickname is Bashka. And that's where the name actually comes from. So I would say, even though I'm outnumbered and outvoted, my pronunciation is the correct one.
I bow to your superior knowledge and the history of the name, and I like it. I think it's a nice ring to it, Bashka, as well. So you mentioned the lady again who started it was?
Barbara Bryan.
And she began, 2018, was it?
Yes.
I came across her at Sheridan's Market.
Yes.
And bought bread from her.
That's where we popped down there to buy our bread. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Don't tap that desk there. What did I tell you?
Here I go.
No, it's not school, honestly. I have to say, I remember buying from her. So you went there and bought from her as well.
Yep.
And now you own and run the business.
That's it.
How did that happen? What happened?
Well, I suppose Sheridan's kind of was a lifeline for us during lockdown.
Okay.
It was one of the only places in our allowable radius that we could get to. And I guess our favourite thing to buy when we went to Sheridan's was Bashka bread. And we'd frequently have arguments on a Saturday morning.
Sarah, come on, let's go. We're going to be late. We're going to miss the bread again. It would be an argument.
Yeah, because every Saturday.
Yeah, that's what happened.
And then it was in December 2021, a similar morning, similar argument. We're going to miss the bread. It'll be all gone. And when we got to Sheridan's, there were only two loaves left. And the girl said, oh, you're so lucky. Congratulations, you've got the last two loaves. And we just thought she meant, the last two for the
week. Today,
But when we got chatting and teased it out, it turns out that Barbara was looking to exit and didn't have anyone lined up to take over. So we
took her number that day.
We took her number that day and got in touch.
We phoned her a day later. And 2 days later, we had a meeting set up. We met with Barbara and Andrew, her husband, and we pretty much bought all our equipment and moved everything back to Bormeen and had
brilliant.
We had this HSE out to look at the
building. The inspection. So the business was actually only closed when it would naturally have been closed over Christmas anyway. We continued without interruption and without
a
break.
What a story. This is a wonderful story. I mean, it is a wonderful story from customers to makers and owners of a business. It is simply, simply brilliant. But here's the other thing, especially in your case, I have to say, John, you have no background in bread making
at all.
No,
it's all, I mean, it's going back to railway engineering. And I suppose with engineering, you do this, and that happens every time.
Yeah.
But with sourdough, this and something completely different happens about it. But Sarah, you're really good at
it. Has moods.
Yeah, it does.
But right, you've no background in it. But Sarah, going back in your family, there is a history.
There is, yes. So my father's family owned and ran HF and J McCann Bakery in Dundalk for many, many years.
Great.
Now, it skipped, it didn't quite skip a generation because my uncles were involved in the business. My father was not. And I had no background in baking at all, not even really home baking, before Bashka came along. So even though it is in the blood, it wasn't in
McCann's,
my own
McCann's. Now, when you mention McCann's, people listening to us today understand what a name, going back in Dundalk as well. That's fantastic and a lovely link. And here you are now. And you're both, this is the full-time gig now.
Yes.
Bashka.
Yes,
Bashka is the full-time.
Yeah, it is.
So, can I say this then? Was it complicated or difficult to, pick up from herself and just carry on? Did you have to learn much yourselves about this?
Big, sharp, fast learning curve, but Barbara was very supportive. I guess when we agreed that we would take it over, one of the most important things for both of us was that she train us and remain kind of contactable, I suppose, as a support, which she has done all along and been very supportive. But she gave us 2 weeks intense, solid training and hand-holding
really
in the beginning, which was huge, hugely important.
So you had to hit the ground running as well. You're up and you're running and you're making. And I think about it, she was in Sheridan's there. I don't know what else she did, but where did you go to sell first? Did you go back to Sheridan's?
We didn't go back to Sheridan's. Actually, she had some existing customers, which we kept all of those on, and I suppose expanded from there, talking to more shops, restaurants, cafes, hotels, and we also joined the Food Academy program, which has been hugely helpful in growing the business.
That's under the auspices of Super Value.
It is.
Or associated with Super Value. Yeah. And you're in Super Value stores now, aren't you?
Yes, we are. We're in Kells, in Navan, we're in Virginia, we're working our way towards towards Cavan. We're heading over, possibly over towards Trim direction.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so yeah.
So you're growing and you're spreading and people are tasting the delights that you make.
Yes.
What are the ingredients? Is it just simply four ingredients? Is that it?
Three, really.
Oh, God, I've added something. I'm making my own version of sourdough here today. Three ingredients and all organic. I want to say this.
All organic.
This is totally organic.
Yeah.
So your ingredients are?
Yeah, they're flour, water, salt. And then on the label, it will also say sourdough culture. Mm. But sourdough culture itself is just flour and water.
Yes.
So it's flour, water, salt. That's it.
So you keep that culture going from the original culture that goes back. You're still tapping into that culture today
absolutely.
And on and on and on it goes.
Yep.
What, so can I say there's a plain sourdough? Is that okay to say just a bog standard sourdough?
A country white sourdough, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What else? What other versions of that do you make?
So we do a multi-seed as well. That has, it's based on the same dough, but with eight different types of organic seed mixed through it. We also do a 50-50, so it's basically the same ingredients, but it's 50% wholemeal flour and 50% white flour, just the proportion.
Yes.
Wholemeal is greater.
Yes.
And then occasionally, more for markets now, we don't sell this in the stores, we'll also do a rye bread, a sourdough rye.
We've also started with the pizza bases,
which are fun.
Interesting. So this is another aspect to you.
Yeah.
So how does it work? Are you baking 7 days of the week or what happens?
Baking 4 or 5 days a week. So the bread gets started not even the day before that.
Yes.
Before it's delivered, where we make up the levains. And the levain is, it's an increased sourdough starter. So we take our mother starter and we probably quadruple it in size to make the levain. And then on mix day, that is mixed into all the dough.
Yes.
It's proved for about 4 hours, then divided, shaped and put into the fridge to prove for another anything between 12 and 24 hours.
Yeah.
And then on the day it's delivered, it's baked.
And that proving it grows, just for listeners to understand what proving means, it expands.
Yeah, it expands. It gets filled with air. That's what gives the holes in the bread. And it also ferments. And it's the fermenting. It's basically partially digesting the gluten in the bread. And that's what makes it so digestible.
Yes.
Which is why people who would say they have, you know, bread intolerances or bread makes them feel bloated or stodgy won't get that.
Can celiacs consume sourdough?
No,
it's not celiac
friendly.
It's not gluten free. That's one thing. It's not gluten free, and that's just important to say.
Yeah.
But it does help people who find that with bread, you're saying there, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, they feel
uncomfortable bloated,
whatever.
Stodgy.
You won't get this with the natural organic sourdough.
No.
When you talk about baking, are you up? What's your day? Are you up early? You know, we have the other side of baker's been up when it's dark and then dawn arrives and they're still up. And is it like that?
It is.
Is it really?
It is.
We start
at 3:30.
That's early.
Yeah.
Well, I sort of slipped down later.
John has to do the driving.
John.
So he argued that from a safety point of view, you can't start as early.
It is the safety point. Yeah.
Sarah, you're a mighty woman. I'll tell you that. You're my half. Anyways, you know, so it is an early start. Seriously, it is. And you have to get going and you bake away and then you deliver yourselves. You do all your own deliveries to the outlets where you sell and that's the way it works.
Yeah, yeah. I have to give a shout out to my father who does help with deliveries
when we have deliveries
going maybe in opposite direction to the bulk of them. He will step in and help us.
Well done, Brendan. That's what it's about. It's a team effort and important to say that. You're growing and you have been growing since you took over. I have here in front of me beside the Super Values where you are available as well and there's a list of them. Are you happy where you are now with what you have size-wise, business capacity, etc.?
We are happy and we are grateful, but of course we want to grow more.
Yeah,
yeah, we absolutely want to grow more. Certainly even within Meath, I mean, we don't have to take on geographically a very new area to grow because from our base in Bohermeen, a lot of our business is going one particular direction. If we could stay with the same radius but in all directions, we'd be happy.
And that would you'd be sufficiently happy with that.
I think so.
Plenty to keep you busy, I'm sure, as well. Yeah. You know what I mean? And, and that early start. So if you're up at 3:30, may I ask you, what time do you rest at the evening before? You must go to bed early. You'd have to at 3:30 start, would you?
Yeah, I'd try to get to bed by 9 on a bake day.
Yeah. Good on you. Yeah, look, that'll take you through as well. It's intense. It's labour intense, this, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
We'll have to mention Nicole. She's really good.
Yeah. So Nicole works with me and helps with mixing the bread. Nicole
Very
Keating.
Good. Very good.
And we couldn't manage without her, really. Yeah, we absolutely couldn't.
We have another guy starting with us next week.
Yeah.
So it's grown, you know, and this is great to hear. When you deliver it, if I buy one of your loaves or ever pick it up, how many days will it stay good for?
I absolutely believe that bread is always best on the day it's baked. But we would happily ourselves at home eat a loaf that's a week or even 9
but
days
can
old.
Fire it in the toaster, put it under the grill, do multiple things with it. You know what I mean? I've seen that myself.
Yeah.
You're right, bread is... But listen, this other aspect of bread where you go and you get something, I won't decry anything because food is very important to everybody and everybody has their own taste in it.
Yeah.
But bread shouldn't stay fresh, really, should it?
No.
For,
well, the...
10 days.
No, the thing about sourdough is because it's fermented and slightly acidic, it has a natural anti-mould characteristic in it. So it actually doesn't mould terribly quickly. It'll go a bit firm.
Yes.
And as you say, you put it in the toaster and it's absolutely fine.
Croutons in soup. Haven't I done it in the past? Beautiful. Yeah. Absolutely beautiful. Yeah. Stuffing. Great. It uses in the stuffing. Make a stuffing up. There are multiple uses with it. Even if you... That's if you have any left to do that with. Because with your guy's stuff, that don't happen.
No, it doesn't last.
It doesn't last.
We were constantly running out of bread. You wouldn't believe it. Other day we were talking about...
We were nearly going to go and buy some.
Buy some bag.
I do not believe this for one moment. That you would... You'd run out. Yeah. What would you love to eat sourdough bread? Come on. What's your favourite way? Butter? Natural butters?
I like drizzled with olive oil.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, and
lovely.
If it's fresh, untoasted, just drizzled with olive oil.
John, come on.
I'm a bit like, yesterday we had peanut butter and banana on a multi-seed toasted, which was quite
gorgeous.
Nice.
Gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. For me, I have to say, I love it fresh. I'd eat it with the new time fresh.
Yeah.
Natural butter on it. Mm. You know, I love that on it. And even the toast, even when it's fresh, maybe this is heresy, even when it's fresh, to toast it on one side and give it that, right?
So there's some crunch.
Butter into it.
Yeah.
And maybe a homemade strawberry jam or something
lovely.
On top of it. Will you stop the lights? The Queen of England. Oh no, she's the King of England, I should say. Wouldn't be eaten like that. Like, that's just my personal. But anything else, savoury, sweet, or whatever, and it goes
avocado,
with
the whole scrambled eggs.
Yeah, it's endless,
peanut
yeah.
butter. For me, with soup, I don't use a spoon. I just use chunks and chunks of bread.
Yeah.
We've even if we've cold pasta, we'll chop it up and put it on the
bread.
Yes,
there are multiple
uses. Anything.
So you've found your niche.
Yes.
This best is, job I've ever had.
Oh, isn't that lovely to say for you too?
Absolutely,
you feel it.
Absolutely.
It's a passion. It's
it
a
is.
Passion you have.
Yeah.
So the Super Values we mentioned there in Kells and Old Castle, the Lock Crew have they in the gardens there? It's on the menu in the Headford Arms.
It is.
I know that for sure. Sheridan's have it as well.
Yeah.
Anywhere else you want to mention that have it? Happy Cup in Oldcastle, are they there?
Yeah. Smith Super Value in Navan.
Lovely.
O'Brien's Super Value in Kells. McAvoy's in Virginia.
Virginia Park Hotel, Crover House, Farnham Estate, some of the hotels we're in.
Then Richard Corrigan.
Richard's very good.
I mean, get the thumbs up from Richard.
Very, very supportive.
He's a great man.
Very supportive.
I have to say, Hugh McGuire in Ashburn gets it delivered on a Friday, so
lovely.
It's available Friday and Saturday.
Good friend
Willows
Hugh as well.
Kira's Candy in Old Castle.
McGuire's Cafe on the Hill of Tara.
God, it's everywhere.
Yeah, it really is.
Oh, Louise is delighted. You mentioned the Hill of Tara. Our Louise loves the Hill of Tara. It's the first time we mentioned the show in Yonks, and you came in here and mentioned, look at her, did smile on her face there. McGuire's have it on the hill. But there you are, Hugh's black pudding with your sourdough. Oh my God, now you're talking. You're a great story. The way it happened is just simply marvellous. I wish you every success. You're a great couple, you really are. And I can see the love and the passion that comes out and comes through your sourdough as well. It's quite evident today. I wish you all the best. Bashka Bakery, Sarah Steen and John Mallon. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm loving angels instead.
Robbie Williams and Angels on your late lunch this Wednesday afternoon, as I looked at the weather forecast on the TV in front of me and I see nothing but rain, rain, rain. Louise, does the weather ever get to you? You know what I mean? Does the weather ever, like, you'd say, oh my God, is this ever going to stop?
I'm sick of rain.
I think everybody is, because it's been the wettest, I have to say, the rain, the level of the lakes, I know from fishing, is unprecedented. The land is soaking and there's more rain this week above the average. Now, just remember this. Today is the 3rd of April, 2024 in the year of our Lord, okay?
Yep.
And I am saying here on this radio station,
yep,
if I hear a word, one word for the rest of the year, I am going to go ballistic. If I hear the word rationing in the context of water, don't anybody in this country, in any authority, in Irish water, anybody, mention the word water rationing, no matter what happens. If we have 3 months of dry weather in the summer, which I, please God, hope we will, don't mention it, because we have enough water to supply the world, Louise. Never mind.
Well, can I just say, when I was in Morocco earlier this year, yeah, like they this is, I think, their, I'm probably wrong, but roughly their sixth year of drought, right?
Yeah.
So the king over there has demanded to be built, or not demanded, but he has built basically reservoirs all over Morocco, and they desalinate the water from the sea.
See, yeah.
There is no shortage of water.
Yeah.
Plants, everything get watered every day.
It can be done, but in dear little old Ireland, you know us, you know the way it works here. Everything takes an eternity. Everything is slow. There's panic when, you know what I mean, you get a dry spell or whatever. We've got to manage. We have a huge resource. We have that much bloody water. It's unbelievable. But anyway, I don't want to hear that word for the rest of 2024.
You think there'll be a condition now, Cup? You know, we've, the last 2 years have been really, really wet.
Yeah.
And everybody has depression or whatever. But do you think now there'll be, like, it's not sad, but will there be a condition called this where everybody feels really down when it rains all the time?
Soaked. That's what it's called. It's called S-O-A-K-E-D. And I'll,
yeah,
come,
like
up, I'll,
okay,
come up with letters for that acronym. Yeah. Just give me a few minutes of that. I'm just working on that. Just came off the cuff there. It's called soap.
I like, yeah, that one. Yeah.
Anyway, the ironing. That's somebody true. Wants to know, what is the Louise method of ironing? I love that. Yes, she sits on them.
Yeah.
She sits on the clothes.
Is let your body heat, just get the creases out.
I love that. Thank you for that one there. There's another one. Jerry, I fold clothes when I take them out after the wash, and I don't iron. There's no need to iron, says Ursula. Ursula's your type of woman, isn't,
yep,
she? You'd go along with Ursula there. She just mentioned it. I saw another one there. That's very interesting. Listen to this. On the other hand, a listener says, I iron literally everything and I iron every day. As soon as the washing is dried, I iron for 7 people in the house.
Oh my God.
What about that?
No.
Wow.
If I ironed a perfect shirt, I wouldn't let anyone wear it.
Why?
Because it'd be a work of art. It'd never happen again. I'd hang it up and just to be admired.
It certainly would. Well, you know, Margaret Thatcher was known as the Iron Lady, but I want to rename that lady there as the ironing lady,
yeah,
because that is just something else for 7 people.
Black velvet, if you please.
Alana Miles and Black Velvet on your late lunch this Wednesday afternoon. It's Wildlife Matters for the next while, because Aoife McPartlin has just joined me from Wildlife Rehabilitation Ireland. Welcome back to the show, Aoife.
Thank you, Jerry. Lovely to be here as always.
And we're going to talk today about small creatures, especially our feathered friends, the birds, at this time of the year, because birds are busy building. It's probably eggs and nests at this stage already, and young birds will be on the way shortly. But first, I want to talk to you about a moment of real joy. 23rd of March, we're in Loch Lane down near Mullingar, and in the morning time, nothing much on the lake of that. And then in the afternoon, they appeared. First 1, 2, 6, 10, and then nearly a flock of them. I'm talking about swallows. They just seem to arrive in, you know what I mean, after that enormous journey. Mm. It's great to see them, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. And it's such a beautiful sign of summer is on the way when you see the swallow arrive. They're magnificent birds, and I think they put everybody in really good form. Who doesn't love a swallow? They are stunning. And as you say, they've undertaken such an arduous journey to be here. You know, they've come all the way from South Africa. So it's 10,000 kilometres, which is absolutely phenomenal for a bird that weighs about half a bag of crisps.
Yes. And that's it. They are absolutely tiny, aren't they? They're so small. And yet they make that huge journey and arrive here. And I was just thinking, when they arrive here, now there was fly life on the lake. You could see them dipping in the water, picking up those duck fly hatching or whatever. That food source is crucial, isn't it, at this time of the year, in relatively cold weather, to sustain them.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's what they live on. They feed on the wing, so they feed on flying insects. So those insects are extremely important. And I suppose that comes back to the whole ecosystem and the food chain and the whole thing from the bottom up. The importance of insects is it can't be underplayed in any way. And those animals will eat constantly as they fly. And that's what sustains that journey, that 10,000 kilometre journey from the south of Africa.
So they're here. The martens will be here as well and follow. And of course, we have the swifts. But let's talk about the swallows for a moment. Will they start building nests now quite quickly in outhouses and barns and places like that? Yes.
Exactly, that's it, exactly. And they are called barn swallows. That's the particular swallow that we have here, and that's because they do build in barns and sheds. They tend to build in enclosed spaces, whereas the likes of your martens and your swifts will build outside, you know, on the outside of a building. So swallows will start to build now. And the really interesting thing is, like, not only do they come the 10,000 kilometres, which in itself is phenomenal, but they go right back to where they came from, right into that same shed, into that same nest. And if the nest needs a little bit of repair, they will do that repair. And I suppose a little tip for people to bear in mind as well is, if we're lucky enough for the weather to warm up and dry up a little bit, it can become difficult then to build the nest, obviously, because those nests are made up of about 1,500 pieces of tiny little bits of mud that are moistened. So a little tip, if you felt at some point your garden, because they will have maybe 2 to 3 broods during the year here. So if your garden did dry up, it's no harm to leave even a little dish of water, you know, if you know you have a nest, and they can dip the beaks in and out of the water to keep that moisture going in the nest so it doesn't collapse.
Please God it will dry up, as you say there. We were just talking about it before you came in there, and how wet it's been. So they'll start to build, they lay their first clutch of eggs, and the little ones will emerge. Now, they're not the only ones. The starlings, my starlings are busy in the fascia at my back door.
Great.
They're built, I think they're built already, I'd say. They probably are laying eggs at this moment in time. I have sparrows around the place as well, the blue tits. They're all, you know what I mean, busy at the moment. If you find, and I'm stepping on a little bit here, when the little ones, you know, hatch out and they're there, and you happen to find a small bird on the ground, maybe under a swallow's nest, or if you find a chick from a starling, what should you do?
That's a great question. And it's a common question, and it's something that happens every single year, because inevitably birds will leave the nest, or they may fall out of the nest. So what we say to people is, if the bird has feathers, then it's very, very likely that it's a fledgling. Mm. So a fledgling will spend a few days on the ground because it isn't ready to fly. It's just left the nest.
Yes.
So you see them kind of hopping around, flapping their wings, and people often, understandably, just presume they can't fly and they might be injured, and they pick them up and take them off. But the reality is that they are fine. They're flexing their wings, they're powering up their muscles, they're going to go. Mom and dad are still there, they're flying in and out and feeding them and watching them all the time. Even though we will have people say that they can't see any parents, believe us, they are there.
Okay.
So observe.
If you find them less feathered, and maybe, you know, even to look at them yourself, you find they're really immature, should you try and return them to the nest, or what should you do?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That is by far the preferred outcome, is to try and get it back into the nest. Now, if that's not possible, and it isn't always, as you know, some nests can be very, very high up and a little bit inaccessible. So what we suggest to people is, very often you can build your own version of a nest and hike it up as far as you can. 9 times out of 10, the parents will continue to feed. If they don't, then that's when you give a call to a wildlife rehabilitator, and there's loads of them on our website. There's a whole list.
And they're quite willing to accept these little creatures and try and nurse them along till they're ready to find their own way in the world.
Yeah, and some more than others. I mean, they're the likes of what we just described there, the swallows and the swifts and them, they're less likely to accept the new baby back. They will tend to not do that.
Okay.
But most birds will continue to feed once it's quite close by the nest and they know there's no threat.
In terms of them nesting and going about the business, the weather's been brutal. I don't know if you alluded to it there. If there is a dry spell, it's been cold, it's been poor, especially on the east coast here. Is it still good to help them along with feeders and that at this time of the year?
Absolutely. I mean, we would definitely suggest feeding the birds throughout the year, because what you're really doing is you're just supplementing. So if you think about it, in the winter, obviously they might need a little bit more, and that's when you put your fat balls and stuff like that out, because they're full of all of the, you know, well, the fat, which keeps them going in the winter. But then in the summertime, it's more kind of seeds, berries, things like that, that they will use as supplementary food. So they need that, because at the end of the day, I think we spoke about it before, that all their habitats are under such huge pressure now. So it's good supplementary food for them. They've got little mouths to feed as well. They're working really, really hard in and out feeding all those chicks. So no harm at all. I wouldn't put fat balls out in the summer.
Okay.
They go off. So yeah, just keep to the seeds.
I gave the dog, Messy, my dog, a knuckle bone the other day, and of course he enjoyed it, but he'll always leave a little bit that he can't get to, you know, at the centre of that. Yeah. Well, talk about a carnival, watching the starlings, and then the magpies arrived, a grey crow. They all wanted a little bit from the bone. That's sweet stuff for them, isn't it, if they get that?
Yeah, absolutely. And particularly the likes, now you mentioned the magpie there, the crow family, they love a bit of meat. I mean, they are ultimately carnivores. They're omnivores, but they do love meat. They're insect eaters, they're small rodent eaters, so absolutely, I'm sure they loved that bit of a bit of a treat that they found in your place. Yeah.
One came down and we were saluting the one. You know the way you salute the one magpie? Well, this is an owl thing we do.
I know,
anyway.
Yeah.
For luck, we love to see two, of course. We love it. It's an owl thing that goes back years and years, but there was only one and he arrived and he was sticking his chest out, walking around the place and scattered all the other crew that were there. In general terms, though, you know, birds, the majority of birds are fine. They remain within the nest. They're reared to a flushing stage and that as well. It's only the minority that actually fall from the nest and are found outside the nest as well.
Yeah, and I think as well what we have to kind of bear in mind, this is why we like people to, you know, to contact someone who may be an expert in this field, because birds will sometimes throw their own babies out of the nest, hard as that is to believe.
Really?
And that is purely survival of the fittest. The parents will understand that there is a weaker chick there, and they might actually throw it out of the nest. So if you continue to put this baby back, you will find that it continues to fall out of the nest, you know.
But it can be the parents making a decision.
Absolutely, it can be. But always, 100%, just get some professional advice on the matter.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm after getting a beautiful picture WhatsApped into me here. It's absolutely gorgeous. Jerry, here are swallows from last year in my shed. There's four of them clustered round a bucket in the shed. The nest is in the corner. Here are the four of them sitting on the bucket. What a beautiful picture that is. Fantastic. Well done to you to have that picture taken. It's absolutely beautiful. Angela is on to say, we're still waiting for the swallows here. They come every year, but they haven't arrived yet. She shouldn't be concerned, should she? No,
not
it's still
at
early,
all. It's
is
early
it?
Days. Absolutely. That's a huge journey. They will be exhausted. They're resting and they're flying and resting and flying. They are all only arriving now, so they will be here.
So the early birds are only in. Let's extend this a bit from our feathered friends to other creatures who inhabit our gardens and hedgerows, etc. Especially, may I talk about hedgehogs, you know, who have a lot of waking from their winter slumber at this stage. And again, they are another creature who are going to be having babies at this time. What about baby hedgehogs? Do they show up quite a bit with rehabilitators?
Yeah, I mean, it's still a little bit early for baby hedgehogs.
Yeah.
Hoglets, they're called. Because hedgehogs are really only coming out and about now after their own hibernation. So baby hedgehogs aren't really born until the summertime.
Okay, later on.
So yes, so that will be June. So we can definitely touch back on that when they're coming out and about. We would see a lot of them.
So they're not a worry. Anything else? Any other creatures?
Yeah, well, I mean, what I would say, just coming back to hedgehogs, is this time of year, people tend to get quite busy in their gardens now, obviously. So when hedgehogs are coming back, you know, from their hibernations, they're all waking up and whatever, people will often be out with their strimmers. And if your grass is long and you're out with your streamer, you may not see the hedgehog fast asleep, curled up in a ball. And there are a lot of very catastrophic injuries to hedgehogs from streamers. So it's just a simple suggestion. You just walk through your garden before you stream. Just walk the path that you're going to stream and ensure that you don't have hedgehogs or frogs or anything else that may be in the grass there that you could injure. That's the main
Saying to me, let's step back on the hedgehogs. So a lot of them wakening up at this time. Some of them are quite torpid or whatever, you know, even though they've woken from the sleep. Mm-hmm. So you have to be careful for that. If you come across one that has, you know, awoken from hibernation and looks to be a little bit lost or a little bit, you know what I mean, under the weather, finding them in places where perhaps you shouldn't, should you take them along too? A rehabilitator as well.
Yeah, I mean, what we always say again to everybody is to observe. Now, if you're in a position to take a photograph or a video, that's even better.
Yeah.
Because then that gives the rehabilitator something to go on. But definitely hedgehogs, number one, are rarely, rarely, rarely out during the day.
Okay.
There is usually something wrong if they are out during the day in daylight.
So there is a problem. So if you come across them, there is a problem and they need to be looked after.
Yes.
I was, last week I mentioned fishing and the amount, I couldn't believe it. Fully formed small frogs. Now, they're obviously not this year's frogs because they're still developing tadpoles in the ponds. Yeah. They're obviously last year's frogs. Nice little size, not huge altogether, but they're ones as well you got to be, as you said there, be careful not to injure or damage.
Absolutely. And we only have one species of frog in Ireland. So, you know, we need to mind them. They're all equally important. And I think I was telling you about our visiting heron down in Mornington. That was helping itself to a lot of frogs. But look, nature, it's the food chain and we got to look after it.
And so the year is wakening up. Birds are building, nests are being filled, young birds are being fledged, hedgehogs waiting, frogs active, spawning over, but lots of other yearling and beyond frogs. Anything else to mention at this time to watch for?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what I would mention, if you don't mind, is, stop me if I mentioned this the last time, but it's a very, very important message, is kind of back to birds, but it's also to domestic pets and the damage that they can do to fledgling birds and to small animals that are being born. We have our fox cubs are now born. We have our badger cubs now born. And then our birds are coming next. So cats in particular are extremely detrimental to baby birds. They play with them and they usually end up killing them. They might bring you in a present of them. But they carry a very, very toxic saliva on their teeth, in their mouth, and it will kill birds. And it is catastrophic, the numbers of birds that are killed by cats every year. It's in the millions. So we always, this time of year, we have a lovely poster on our website about what to do if you find a baby bird, how to help your wildlife, and how to prevent your cat from attacking baby birds and bring them home to you for presents. So really the key is if you can put a collar with a bell on it to alert the birds that the cats are coming. But ideally, if you can keep your cat in, particularly at dusk and dawn, when birds are very, very active, that would be a really good thing to do.
I like the bell and the collar because that is an alert to the birds themselves that there's danger in the area as well. Now, little ones probably can't, you know what I mean, escape that. But
the parents will catch it.
The parents can, yes, and will look after it. I think that's a really, really good suggestion. And dawn and dusk, when cats are on the prowl and birds are active, that doesn't mix. It doesn't work because the casualties, as you mentioned there, Aoife, are massive.
Yes.
Anyway, let's leave it there for today. Lovely to have you with us again on Late Lunch. We'll be back in the month of May. Another update for what's happening in the wildlife world. And in the meantime, if people want to find out more about Wildlife Rehabilitation Ireland, just check out the website.
Yeah, www.wri.ie.
It's as simple as that. Aoife McPartland, for the moment, thank you so much for joining me on
the show.
Thanks,
Jerry.
Yes, LMFM have teamed up with the Arc Cinema for a special screening of Godzilla Kong, the New Empire, in the Arc Cinema Drogheda on Wednesday week. That's this day week, April the 10th at 8:25. And we have tickets to give away to that special screening. And we had lots of people looking for the tickets today. And I can tell you that I have a pair of tickets each for Rebecca Collier, Mark Mealy, Kate McElroy, Mark Shields and Paul Burke. Well done to all of you. We'll be in touch to make the arrangements and there's more tickets up for grabs and Late Lunch tomorrow, Thursday, and again on Friday. Sean, loved the video of the swallows from last summer in your house. We had a good look at it there during the interval. Mark's been on to say, just listening to you talking about the birds and wildlife there. I was en route home yesterday in Meath when a pheasant suddenly burst out of a ditch I couldn't stop in time because there was a car behind me and there was a right thud on the front of the car. I don't like hitting them, but safety first when driving, that is true, Mark. And sometimes there's absolutely nothing you can do. We had a message about peacocks around the Termin Feckenclaw head area, and a message from a listener to say that those peacocks belong to the former Lady Dillon's house there in Termin Fecken. Yes, they are. They're not wild by any means, but they do wander. I remember there was guinea fowl. Mark Cooney used to have guinea fowl where I lived up on the Windmill Road near Drogheda United's ground, and we lived over in the North Road, and several mornings I remember waking up and the guinea fowl over in our back garden. We never kept fowl in our life, but they were there, and then they flew back when the mood took them as well. So they are, they can wander about different feathered creatures. Now let's roll this on Late Lunch.
The Late Lunch Artist of the Week.
Artist of the Week.
Yes, my artists of the week all this week are the Monkees. And of course, they were a manufactured band. And they came to prominence because of the TV series of the same name called The Monkees, which ran on NBC in 1966 and 1967. But here's the thing, they wanted to create a third series, but the four boys said absolutely not. They were fed up with it. They wanted to change direction entirely. So simply, the network cancelled The Monkees in February 1968. So they turned their attentions to the big screen, and a number of people became involved with them as they made a movie called Head. And one of those involved was Mr. Jack Nicholson. He was indeed. And this movie, in this movie, they tried to counter their image that had been developed on the TV show. They actually hated it at this stage. And they went in another direction entirely. And guess what? Yes, the movie flopped. Naturally, it did, because they didn't realise what was the essence of their success. However, subsequently, that movie achieved cult status. Yes, it has a huge cult following. And ironically, its soundtrack is regarded as the Monkees' finest work. Peter Tork quit the band as the 60s moved on into the 70s. The other three, Naismith, Dalence and Jones, soldiered on, producing more albums before the Monkees officially broke up on September 22nd, 1970. For my song today, I've selected a song written by who? Mr. Neil Diamond. Yes, the one and only. And it reached number 2 on the US singles chart for the Monkees in 1967. Incidentally, Diamond himself never recorded the song, but he did sing it from time to time at concerts and live performances. But the boys made it, the Monkees. Here they are with a little bit me, a little bit you. Artists of the Week, the Monkees. A little bit me and a little bit you. Sort of sums up Late Lunch every day, isn't it? Yeah, it's a little bit about you and a little bit about us, and it all works together in a wonderful mix. Yeah, more about the Monkees in words and song round about this time tomorrow afternoon on Late Lunch. Final break of the day on the way, and afterwards, she has a keen eye. She observes life brilliantly. Yes, we're going to hear from Miss Sinead Burke. There's more Burke's Banter next.
Whoever is in charge of marketing the image of middle-aged women needs to have a long, hard look at themselves in an unflattering mirror. If you were to believe half of the advertisements and films, reaching the midpoint in our lives should be all gracefully glossy, expensive bobbed hair, secret looks with much younger men, secluded corner tables in restaurants, and scarves. I was led to believe there would be a lot of beautiful scarves. But sure, it's all propaganda. Not so much Mrs. Robinson as Mrs. Overall, or truth be told, the invisible woman. It seems incredibly cruel. Just as most of us reach a stage in our lives when the kids can mind themselves, our careers get a bit of traction, and we have the headspace and time to get the roots done regularly, the universe decides to turn us into invisible nervous wrecks. I mean, honest to God, you can have nothing. If Mother Nature is a woman, fate is definitely a man. First up is physical and mental wear and tear. As a slip of a thing in my late 40s, I have started to grapple with perimenopause. It started innocently enough. I began to forget people's names. Nothing major there. I've never been that bright. But then came the anxiety, lads. The worry about everything. Up until this point, I had living with imposter syndrome down to a fine art. But this is something else entirely. Am I going to be fired? Have my friends fallen out with me? Have I offended this random stranger? Did I forget to pay that bill? And if you can now go skiing in Dubai, there's really no going back for the planet, is there? The answer to all of these is probably yes. But a couple of years ago, I wouldn't have given two hoots. Now all these worries run through my head every night, accompanied by what I like to call the 40s frolic with the bed sheets. Sad to say, this is not a euphemism for anything saucy. I'm not performing my own rural Meath production of the Dance of the Seven Veils. With my internal thermostat set to haywire, it's duvet on, duvet off, until the alarm clock goes, and I realise I've had about 2 hours sleep. I don't have a problem getting older. It's a privilege. It doesn't bother me that I've moved from looking at the makeup in pennies to trying out the reading glasses. But with each full circle I take around the sun, I'm starting to feel a little less visible. In my heyday, and with a bit of effort, I didn't look too bad. However, unbeknownst to me, in recent times the world has recast me in the role of a character from a Victoria Wood comedy sketch. It's been years since somebody said anything inappropriate to me. So what's to be done? I'm tired, I'm hot, I'm cold, I'm confused most days, and my eyesight is failing. Everything's dropped a couple of inches, and I'm still worried about people being able to ski in Dubai. I may as well just make the best of it. Does anyone else want a couple of scarves from pennies?
A couple of scarves from pennies. Anybody out there for a couple of penny scarves? Going cheap on late lunch after Sinead Burke's musings on middle age and what it means. Louise, I don't know whether you caught much of that in there because there were two men who wouldn't shut up. I don't know whether you heard any of it, but I hope you heard a little bit of it anyway.
Well, I'm just hoping you're not going to say that I'm middle aged now.
I'm not going to say a word about you being
be
anything.
Good.
But I'm going to ask you a question about it. Middle aged women being invisible. That's
Sinead,
that's the thrust of what she was saying.
Totally
there, you know,
agree.
I mean? Would you agree with her? That's all I wanted to ask you. I
think as men get older, they get more distinguished. And I think women get more invisible. I do. Yeah, I do.
God, that's amazing, isn't it? Why is that?
I don't know. I think they just kind of, they're in limbo for a while with careers and the kids grow up. And then when they try to, you know, get back into things, things moved on, and I don't know, they're kind of outgrown the fashion and the makeup and the...
But you've got to make yourself not invisible, if you know what I mean. You can do a bit there, surely. No?
No, I think there comes a certain age when you do get to be a little bit invisible as a woman.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so Sinead is on the money.
Yeah, I think so, definitely. Yeah. I miss what she was saying about the bed sheets, though. I was quite interested in that.
I think that's...
She doesn't iron them, does she?
No, she doesn't. I think that's to do with night sweats.
Oh, I haven't quite got there yet. No.
I think it's nothing to do with that. But if that happens, if they are a bit damp, hang them out, dry them and just fold them and they're perfect again. There's not a bothering them.
And have a shower.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't wait a week to have a shower.
Every second day, yeah. You're all right. Every second day.
Unless you've night sweats.
Anyway, I just want today, before we finish up, to be the first to wish you, Miss Louise Walsh, a very happy birthday.
Thank you very much. I'm still not middle-aged.
No.
Just want to find that out.
Wouldn't I tell you? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not, for sure. And will never be. Will never, ever be, because I know that your outlook on life and you're just marvellous to be around, to be honest with you. And I want to be the first to wish you A happy, it's your birthday tomorrow. So it is. It is your birthday tomorrow. Anything planned? Or it's a working, it's difficult. It's a Thursday working week and that. You'll celebrate maybe over the weekend, will you?
I will, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
good,
we'll do
good,
something.
Good. Anyway, it's Louise's birthday tomorrow. So don't forget to wish her, I'm not round myself tomorrow, to wish her a very happy birthday on the show tomorrow. She's looking forward to it. And again, have a great time and happy birthday, young woman.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, young woman. Anyway, that's it on Late Lunch this afternoon. Eddie Caffrey's on his way with the drive here on LMA. FM radio, and we play out with the wonderful Mr. Lewis Capaldi and Strangers. See you soon. Bye.
We were strangers at the bar. They were playing Wonderwall. I overheard you say you hate this song.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.